How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here Monday through Friday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio. The list goes on and on. And boy, have we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. We're on the road to WrestleMania, everybody, and last night was Raw, so we got a lot of Raw notes to talk about. I've got a new WrestleMania card. We talked about the tentative card yesterday, and now we know even more about it. In fact, the addition of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which I talked about on yesterday's show, which was made official on Raw last night. So breaking news on yesterday's show. We're going to be talking about all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts here today. In about 40 minutes, we are going to be joined by the bearded man beast. Hansen is going to be on the show of Ring of Honor fame. Ring of Honor has got a pay-per-view coming up on Sunday from Los Angeles, and as a result, all this week to kick off our new Monday through Friday schedule here on Sports Byline at USA, we're going to have Ring of Honor stars on every single day. Every day, including tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Keeping the list a secret, so you've got to tune in to find out which big star is going to be on the show. We had AJ Styles on yesterday. If you're a subscriber to the website, that's in the archives right now. And by the way, if you're not a subscriber, this is the final hours until 9 o'clock tonight. If you go to WrestlingObserver.com, you can get a full month's access of Figure Four Weekly for just $3.99. We plug it all the time. It's normally $10.99. But for WrestleMania season, we're doing a special $3.99 for a full month, and this is the final day. It's your last warning. So head up there and check that special out. We've also got a ton of news on all sorts of different topics. Mixed martial arts, we've got a Ronda Rousey fight coming up that we're going to talk about. Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was scheduled for Raw last night, literally until the final moments before the show went on the air, and then he wasn't there. Why? We're going to talk about that, plus take your phone calls and so much more. A packed hour here every day on Sports Byline USA. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Last night, Monday Night Raw, the first show after Fastlane, and we got about 4 weeks left until WrestleMania. And Mike, we've got a WrestleMania card here. I went over a card yesterday, which is virtually the same, but we've got some more things confirmed here. So let's talk about this show. The main lineup that we know thus far is Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight title, Triple H versus Sting, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. It's going to be 20 guys fighting for the Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy, which they did a hell of a job with last year, I might add. Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker, Cena versus Rusev, and unannounced but very likely, we've got Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton, a Divas match of some sort. A match with Daniel Bryan, which may end up being against Sheamus, a tag title match of some sort, as well as probably either a four-way or a ladder match involving all of the guys in the Intercontinental title feud, those being Wade Barrett, Dean Ambrose, Truth, and Dolph Ziggler. That's the lineup for the show thus far, Mike, and after Raw last night, what are you thinking about Mania?
Well, at least we'll have John Cena and Rusev.
That's right.
That's about it as far as I'm not feeling this right now, which is really disappointing because I was one of those people that said, I know things have been bad. And yes, 2014 ended much worse than it usually does, but things are going to be looking good. Royal Rumble is coming, and very rarely do they screw anything up between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. If nothing else, even if you don't like the direction they're going in, even if you don't like the stories, they're at least making enough sense that gets you involved and gets you excited. And hey, as a wrestling fan, there's nothing better than WrestleMania season. I've been wrong this year. Outside of Cena and Rusev, there has not been anything that to draw me in and to make me excited. I'm not happy Daniel Bryan's not in the main event at WrestleMania, but fine. Have Roman Reigns in there. You know, go hard at it. Do what you need to do. Don't make it so overproduced. Don't get the authority back involved. All of these things that were making Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns limp leading into their match at Fastlane, don't do any of that stuff. Now, you know, put the rocket on Roman and go. And I guess they kind of sort of tried to do that last night, but it ended up not working. At least it didn't work for me as a viewer, because I just ended up not wanting to see Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns anywhere near each other anymore. That long, drawn out, just completely, you know, pillar to post, I didn't think much of you, but now I respect you, scripted promo, you know, it was just too much. It went on for too long, and it just ended up hurting both guys as it went along. And even though Paul Heyman's promo was great, it really was, I don't think that helped Roman Reigns immediately coming after the Daniel Bryan thing. And I certainly don't think the main event match helped out either one of them either. I don't understand why they just didn't make it very simple. Have Daniel Bryan come up to him in the back, basically say the same thing that he did, but take several minutes out of it to fill a bunch of nonsense time, and just have him say, "Hey man, I didn't believe it either. I fought you one-on-one. You beat me. Good on you. Now go kick Brock's ass. And I'd be happy to team with you. And I can't make my fans cheer you, but I tell you what, you've earned my respect." That would have gone a lot longer than, you know, or a lot farther than that extra long segment did to open the show.
You know what, though? It's not working the way that Vince McMahon wants it to work, but man, can I ever see what Vince is trying to do. He's trying so hard. I mean, you go all the way back to the Royal Rumble, and you can see Vince's brain working. He has Roman Reigns as the last guy in the ring against two giants and an evil Russian, and he eliminates all of them. And unfortunately, there was a flaw in his plan, which is that everybody wanted Daniel Bryan to win, and so they booed Roman Reigns. So in his mind, he thought, well, if they're cheering Daniel Bryan, I'll just put these two in a match together, and Roman Reigns will prove he's the better man. And then Daniel Bryan will come out and endorse him, and everyone will cheer Roman Reigns. I mean, you can completely see what Vince McMahon is trying to do. And again, it ain't working, but the one thing I will say is that Raw was better than usual last night. There's still some problems, but it was better than usual because there's 4 weeks left until WrestleMania. We now have the matches, and as a result, we've got 4 weeks to focus on where they're going. And I didn't like what they did with Seth Rollins and Randy Orton, because I think that story should have been much simpler. Randy Orton got beat up. He was put out of action for 4 months. He comes back. Now he's a good guy, and he wants to kill Seth Rollins. What could be easier? But instead, they had to make it a story. Randy Orton came back. He wants to kill Seth Rollins. But the Authority talks him into coming back. So now he goes back with the Authority, but he doesn't want to be there. He still doesn't like Seth Rollins, but he begrudgingly respects him. Or maybe he doesn't. I don't even know what's going on. But I know that when the show was over last night, I cared about Randy Orton when he came back.
Really?
I did. When he first came back, I was like, wow, he's back. He's a babyface. The people are going crazy. Here's someone that people care about. We got another main eventer. Great. I've seen it for 10 years, but at least it's another guy who's back that the people care about. By the time the show was over last night, I don't care. I don't know what they're doing, and I don't care.
I just wanted to see the dude kick people in the head. Like, that's what I thought Randy Orton was going to do when he came back. You know, I don't need him to be super fiery, happy babyface doing the splits and, you know.
Hey, boom, boom. The split jump is the best part of his act.
Boom, boom, Randy Orton. But, you know, I really want him to come back and just say, I'm going to kick this little weasel in his head. And, you know, I've been the guy in his position before and all that stuff. Why go into this with the Authority again? Why not just have him come out and say, I'm going to kick you in the head, and I'm going to go through these four other people and Triple H and Stephanie, if they get in my way, before I get to you? You got 4 weeks. Have him kick four heads leading into WrestleMania and Seth Rollins. Everything is so overproduced. It is overdone. It's just too much. And I don't want to hear this nonsense about it being 3 hours. Yes, it is too long. You can still fill this time with a lot better stuff, because I know you said, okay, the show was better last night because at least they have some direction in the matches for WrestleMania. That doesn't matter when only the John Cena and Rusev stuff really mattered. The Miz and Mizdow stuff is stupid. The Ascension stuff with the talking about the Bushwhackers was dumb. The Goldust, Stardust, it was too quick, and it's nothing nothing is working. Wade Barrett, that whole thing with Wade Barrett, and I'm sure we'll get to that, is just ridiculous. He's going to lose or has lost to the three other men to build towards a match at WrestleMania where he will probably lose his title not being
Mike,
pinned.
It's going to get even better. I've seen this before. They're going to do the fabulous storyline where all four men repeatedly lose to each other. And so we have the big match at WrestleMania to determine who is the biggest loser. That'd be a tagline right there. But listen, before you go on, let's backtrack a little bit and talk about a truly great moment that you mentioned that I'd forgotten about, but you've reminded me. Randy Orton's split jump gimmick. I don't even know if most of the people listening to this, I'm sure some of you do, but if not, we've got to find it on the internet. It's got to be up there. If you Google Randy Orton split jump, you can actually see this in action. And I just
split jump out of nowhere.
Think about this. Of all of the guys, if I did a lineup of everybody in WWE and I said, go through this lineup and find the least likely man in the entire lineup to leap in the air and do a split jump. Maybe you would say Mark Henry because of his great weight, or the Big Show, or maybe
great
Stone Cold. Stone Cold Steve Austin, or Great Khali. But Randy Orton is way up there. And for a while, when he was a babyface, that was part of his gimmick. He would hit a move and he would leap in the air and touch his toes. It was incredible.
And
where's that,
like,
Randy Orton?
Kind of put up his dukes and do like the boom boom thing. Look, I'm not even against seeing that Randy Orton back. I would have thought, no matter what they were going to bring him back personality wise as, whether it be the Cold Viper or any of this stuff, it just would have not been hanging out, just patiently waiting to do his thing with the Authority. Just doesn't make any sense to me.
All right, everybody, we're heading to a break. When we come back, your phone calls. What do you think about Raw, the road to WrestleMania, and more? Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Hey, everybody, we're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also here of WrestlingObserver.com. Going to be taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. Give us a call. Your thoughts on anything, open lines, whatever is on your mind, give us a call here on the program. And a reminder, if you go to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com right now, virtually at the top of the page, WrestleMania Special, 1 month of full subscriber access for only $3.99. That's full access to everything, every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005, all of the brand new shows, of which we do two a day. And by the way, tonight for subscribers, it's the Brian and Vinny and Craig show. We're doing the Craig Unnecessary Censorship Contest on the show. We're going to give away two copies of the WWE 2K15 video game. I've heard a couple of the entries. Hopefully this contest is going to be awesome tonight. But it's tonight on the Brian and Vinny Show, only for subscribers. And until 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, you can get a full month of access for only $3.99. This is your final warning, because after this special ends, it's going to be a long, long time before we do it again. So if you've been wanting to sign up for a long time and get full access to everything, $3.99. By the way, thanks so much, everybody who has signed up. And a lot of our listeners have been using Downcast. It is an app that you can use to podcast all of the shows. It's called Downcast. Don't make any money from Downcast. I just know about it. So if you're interested in podcasting the shows as opposed to manually downloading them, Downcast appears to be the way to go for most people. So check that out. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is John from Arkansas.
John, what's happening?
Oh, not much. I had some thoughts on Raw and the way things were going. You know, I'm thinking that there might be a method to Vince's madness with doing a Daniel Bryan Sheamus thing if they do that this year. I think what that might do is, since Bryan is so over in the face capacity, this might actually help relaunch Sheamus in a heel capacity, because let's face it, he was as cold could be, being, you know, the good guy, I'm here fella type guy. This will help him. This will help him greatly. As far as,
well, I can
else,
tell you right now that the idea when Sheamus comes back, which should be any time since they've done vignettes forever, is that they want him to be a top heel, not just a heel on the roster, but one of the top heels in the company. And so if that's their idea, then exactly everything you said is what's coming.
I mean, I don't see a downside to that if they make him a heel, but, you know, just having him linger there in the middle as that good guy killed him. With everything else they're doing, you know, there were some bright spots, but then there were those bumpy spots that we all saw. I'm trying to figure out where the mind is at. With Vince McMahon, that is a constant challenge to try to figure out what that man's mind is thinking on a daily basis.
I think it's usually pretty easy, to be honest with you. I mean, it's not always the best, but I see what he's thinking.
I'm thinking of meat.
He's thinking of big guys with long hair and action figures. That's what he's thinking all the time.
Gnarly.
Did you know, we got to move on for more calls, but I want to thank you very much. Did you know, everybody, that if you go to WWE.com right now, they have a photo spread that's called Mr. McMahon's Muscles. I'm not making this up. A look through history at the muscles of Vince McMahon. That right there should tell you everything you need to know about what's going on with Roman Reigns and WWE and Daniel Bryan. Mr. McMahon's Muscles.
Come look at me swell.
That's right. By the way, if you have never subscribed to the WWE Network, and I'd be surprised if anybody listening to this has not, if you go to the WWE.com website today, they're airing the live stream for free. You don't need a credit card. You don't need anything. They're playing a bunch of stuff today, including the Stone Cold podcast. That's all up at WWE.com free today. So if you want to sample.
They sent me a birthday code.
You know what? They sent me something as well today. I didn't read it. But
see, they've been giving the whole thing away free for so often, so many times that they've, I guess, for people that have been subscribed for a full year, they're giving me a $25 happy birthday code you could plug in at WWE Shop. My hope is that this code will work just like your WWE Network password, which is you can use it 10 million times amongst 10 million people.
You know what I haven't figured out yet is if you go to the Netflix website, if my grandmother went up for example, it would say right there on the front page, try 1 month of Netflix for free. And no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you go up to the website, and if you want to try it, you get 1 month for free. For some reason, I don't know why WWE either can't or doesn't offer this. Instead, they do the weird thing where every few months, they offer a month to everybody for free. And it's always from the beginning of the month to the end of the month. So, for example, if you just now today heard about the WWE's free February, you go sign up and you're going to get like a whopping 5 days. And that's it. It's just such a weird... I don't even get it.
That's the thing. If you're going to do something like that, do what the UFC does, which is you always have 7 days on there. The only time you would have to black that out or you'd have to do something with it would probably you'd want to save it for like that day for WrestleMania. But even you'd have to figure out something, I guess, around the pay-per-views. But the whole deal with the network is you can go back and watch them a day later anyway. So I guess you could block it off for just Sundays, but offer a 5-day trial or something like that that doesn't include pay-per-view days, and there you go. Have it up all the time.
I guess that's the problem. They don't want people doing their 1 month right before WrestleMania, but you could put a blackout during WrestleMania season and just the rest of the year, anytime somebody wants a sample, they get a month for free. I don't know.
Or get some sense and get WrestleMania off there before it's too late.
Let me tell everybody something right now. If they would have launched this network a year ago, and they would have launched it exactly the same, exactly, all of the pluses and minuses, and the only difference was that WrestleMania was still on pay-per-view, holy smokes the amount of money this company would make. That putting WrestleMania on the network decision is a historically bad decision. I mean, it boggles the mind that they put WrestleMania. That is a pay-per-view that is worth upwards of $30 million for the company on one day. And they put that on the network. Do you know how many subscribers it takes to make up that $30 million? And when you think about it, if they've got 1 million subscribers to the network right now, How many do you think they would have if you could get everything that you get right now except WrestleMania? Do you really think they'd be at half? Do you really think they'd be at even a third or two-thirds of that? They'd have almost exactly the same number of subscribers, and they'd be making $30 million on that one day for WrestleMania. It is astonishing.
Hey, we talked about that in the lead-up to it, not only just WrestleMania, but you could have included the big three, you know, if you don't include the big four anymore of the Survivor Series. We were talking about how you could include the big three on there, keep WrestleMania at the price that it's at, maybe have a more of a depressed price for the Royal Rumble and SummerSlam, but leave them all on pay-per-view, and that would have still made sense.
You know what's amazing is that was their idea. If you remember, like, before the network started, I mean, the idea had been all of the pay-per-views will be available except, like, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and WrestleMania. And that was the idea all the way up until Dave and I were sitting there in the audience for the announcement, and they said, every pay-per-view, including WrestleMania. And Dave and I looked at each other like, what? You've got to be kidding me. And that's exactly what they did. If they would have scaled up, why wouldn't you just launch the network without those pay-per-views? And if nobody's buying, then you add a couple of other pay-per-views to the network. If you're still only at 200,000 subscribers, at the end of the day, if after 2 years it doesn't work, fine, put WrestleMania on there. But they put every single egg in that basket, and they've been digging their way out of this hole ever since, and it blows my mind. By the way, on Twitter, everybody, I did put up the animated GIF of Randy Orton doing his split jump. So if you head up to my Twitter, which is at Brian Alvarez, you can see the split jump that we were talking about in the last segment. It's great.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We're going to be joined by Hanson.
Warbeard.
That's right. Warbeard Hanson is going to be coming up after the break, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Ring of Honor's got a pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. Yesterday, we were joined by AJ Styles talking about the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match with Tanahashi. How was that match, Mike? Because AJ Styles, who is in it, doesn't seem to recall.
Let's see. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. You're talking about the Suzuki one, but the one with Tanahashi was actually pretty good too. The card wasn't as good. By the time it got to that and on the main event, all of the title changes that happened and everything that on paper seemed would have been great about that card on February 11th that took place in Osaka, it just kind of fell flat. And they had a good match. It was a 4-star match, but it won't go down in the annals of history or anything like that, even though it was very good. Now, what took place on the 14th on that show was excellent, and that was closed with the Tomoyuki Honma Tomohiro Ishii match. And talking about AJ, about guys he could face in New Japan, I think he has faced both Honma and Ishii before, but rematches up against both of those guys would be great, as well as rematches against Samoa Joe and Ring of Honor, which looks like they could be happening if everything goes according to what John Pollock says, which is Samoa Joe could be back as early as March 7th at the Baltimore tapings.
All right, back in just a moment with Hanson Warbeard here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Follow us on Twitter. I am at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Sempervivi. Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. And joining us on the line right now is at Warbeard Hanson of Ring of Honor fame. Hanson, how you doing today?
Yeah, I'm great, guys.
I got to tell you that when I first saw Hanson on television, me and my buddy Vinny were immediately transfixed. The beard that you have sported, we were trying to figure out if it was the biggest beard we had ever seen. And I don't want to downplay your wrestling or anything else in Ring of Honor, but that's certainly the first thing that blew our minds. How long have you been working on this beard? Because I've seen photos of you beardless.
Yeah. As Handsome Johnny at that. How did Handsome Johnny turn into a Warbeard?
That's right.
Yeah, I've been growing my beard out for, I guess, a little over 3 years now. It was the day I went in for shoulder surgery. That was the last time I shaved. Not only my face, but my head as well. So I've been growing all the hair in my body for 3 years, over 3 years straight.
All over the body. Let's concentrate on the beard here. So now, do you trim the beard, or is the idea that, listen, I'm like a Viking here, there's going to be no trimming, I just want it as wild as possible?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. I've seen a lot of beards since I've returned to wrestling, and I want mine to be the wildest and craziest. I've never trimmed it once.
Well, you've achieved this goal, because you're right. This is a new era of beards. There's beards everywhere in society. Everybody's got a beard, and you have achieved a beard that, in fact, stands out.
Now, was that your intention, too, when this whole thing started? Or, you know, at any point did it get to the awkward middle stage and you weren't sure about it? Or was this your plan from the beginning?
No, it was my plan from the beginning. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to change my look and reinvent myself and come back as something completely different and wild. And that was my goal from the beginning. But I didn't know at the same time there'd be so many other people doing the same thing while I was sitting on my couch trying to recover from an injury.
So now
when I came back, all of a sudden I noticed that there were a lot of other beards that had popped up.
I pictured the inside of your home having like battle axes and such on the walls and swords. Is that the case, or have you not gone that far yet?
Not that far yet, but who knows in the future.
So let's talk a little bit about your career. Everybody knows you as Hansen in Ring of Honor, which is, of course, airing all over the country on Sinclair. There's a pay-per-view coming up this Sunday from Las Vegas, which we got to talk about that beard in Las Vegas here in a second. But tell us a little bit about your pre-Ring of Honor career. What got you into pro wrestling?
I'm sure most of our answers as wrestlers are we loved it as a kid and we fell in love with it and it was something that we had to do from the moment we saw it. And I don't think there's much difference with me when it comes to that. Although when I was really young, I had a friend who loved wrestling and I thought it was the stupidest thing in the world.
Dude, that's exactly like me. My sister loved Hulk Hogan and had a Hulk Hogan poster. And I was like 10 and I hated that poster. And then like 2 years later, I just fell in love with wrestling.
Yeah, it's the same exact thing with me. But what made me fall in love with wrestling was Monday Night Raw coming on television and blue stations and seeing the 1-2-3 Kid beat Razor Ramon. That was like my moment. Or of course, he was just the kid or whatever at that point. But that was my moment that it sucked me into the world of professional wrestling, and I haven't been able to leave or get away from it since.
Now, I interviewed Brian Kendrick on Friday. And he decided he wanted to be a wrestler somewhere around the time that he saw Rey Mysterio, because he was a really little guy. And so when he saw Rey Mysterio getting over big, it was like, okay, size is no longer a barrier. Now, when I see the Warbeard Hansen, I don't see a little guy. And you're telling me that the 1-2-3 Kid upsetting Razor Ramon was a pivotal moment in your life. Was there a time where you were not gigantic?
No, I was always a big kid. There have been my weight's fluctuated over the years. I mean, there's most of my early career, I was trying to be the 6'2", 240 that WWE was always looking for, and they always told us they were looking for, and that was always my goal. But my body type would never allow that. So, I've always been a bigger guy. But in my youth, my favorites were all the underdogs and the lightweight guys. So,
sure.
1-2-3 Kid and Marty Jannetty were two of my favorites. I even loved Aldo Montoya. I used to pretend that I had Casey Jones Ninja Turtles figure, and I used to pretend that was Aldo Montoya because he wore a mask. So I was a big underdog fan my whole career, or my whole life, my whole childhood.
Now, this is no disrespect to Mr. Eric Rowan, but you would have been a way better Eric Rowan than Eric Rowan is currently, in my opinion. Now, have you gone to WWE training camps? Are you on their radar? Have they given you any sort of advice? Or where does that stand?
Yeah, I did. When I came back from injury and I changed up my whole look and stuff, my goal was to make it to Ring of Honor. I've had the door shut in my face so many times with WWE, with Japan, even with Ring of Honor. But I had so many friends that had made it to Ring of Honor. I felt like that was the perfect goal for me, to join my friends at Ring of Honor and become part of the roster. So when I came back, that was my goal. While trying to accomplish that, I popped up on the WWE's radar again, which I was really surprised at, but it was really cool. So I guess a year and a half ago, I went to the first tryout at the Performance Center. It was the same one with Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. So I did that. They did that whole thing, and I think it was really good, and they gave me a lot of great feedback. But pretty much summed up, it was a casting call, and if they needed another big bearded guy, then they'd give me a phone call. So that led me to ending up signing a contract with Ring of Honor.
Well, you know what? When I look at how they've handled Eric Rowan, probably best that you didn't go up at the time.
Perhaps.
Or at least a few years ago.
And it seems to be you're in the right spot, being a guy from New England, too. I'm blown away when I look at the Ring of Honor roster of how many guys from Bennett and Ciampa, who you're in the main event with, to Marshall, you, Congo. I mean, there's tons of guys who have had their, you know, at least chances to be around Ring of Honor or excel in Ring of Honor. And you're kind of right at the top of that list now, winning the top prospect tournament last year and going on to be in the main event coming up here in Las Vegas. Does it surprise you at all about the amount of talent from up there, or is it the ripe indie scene right now is New England?
No, I think what surprises me is that more New England guys haven't made it further in the industry. We've had such a ridiculous amount of talent up here that just have never gone anywhere for whatever reason. We've had, you know, our toes dipped in the water here, or we've just barely touched this milestone, but for some reason, a lot of us just never get over the hump, and that is what surprises me, because there are so many good wrestlers here in New England.
Now, as a small-town boy from New England, when is the last time you visited Las Vegas?
I actually went to Las Vegas for a wrestling convention, the Cauliflower Alley convention.
Oh, really?
But I went there, it was for the training seminar. I did a lot of training seminars when I was early on in my wrestling career. I couldn't even name how many I've gone to. This one was Scott Casey and Harley Race and Les Thatcher. It was the first Les Thatcher camp I did.
So that's off the Strip. So when's the last time you partied down there on the Strip with that giant beard?
Yeah, I never have.
Oh, man, it's going to be quite a Saturday night coming up here, isn't it?
It sure is, yeah.
The Sunday show, you are working the main event. It is Jay Briscoe defending the title against Tommaso Ciampa, Michael Elgin, and you, Hansen. Is this, would you say, the biggest match of your entire career?
Yeah, it's got to be. It's my first ever world championship match. It's going to be live on pay-per-view. It's probably going to be one of the most televised matches I've ever been a part of. And it's just really, really exciting. There's so much momentum going for Ring of Honor and myself right now, and this is definitely the top match of my career.
What would you say was the second biggest match? And what were your feelings heading into that match? I guess just looking at it from a stressful standpoint, I mean, what kind of reaction did you have going into it, and how did you fare?
That's a tough question, because I've had it depends on, looking back on it now, what the most important match was, or at the time what I thought the most
what you thought was.
It was probably the first dark match I had with WWE.
Oh, man.
I wrestled Brian Black at the Fleet Center here in Boston, or I think it's called the Garden now. Brian Black later went on to be Palmer Cannon.
Oh, yeah.
He's already signed at the time. So I had a match with him. He ended up handpicking me to work a match. Any match I had with the WWE, somebody had to fit the neck out for me because I didn't fit the body mold that they were looking for. So Brian Black stuck his neck out for me, and we had a match. And that was definitely the most nerve-wracking experience in my life. And you open the show, you're the first match, your first time getting in a WWE ring in front of the WWE audience. Yeah, that was an intense, amazing time.
And how did it go? Go ahead, Mike.
I was say, how different is the feel of that ring and all that stuff? I know you get a little bit of time to work out in it before you actually go in there to work, but is there that dramatic a difference in just how the feel is?
Yeah, honestly, yes and no. What's kind of interesting is, I mean, obviously you're in the arena and there's so many people, and you get those logos everywhere, and but once you're in there and the bright lights are on, it's hard to see the people. All you can do is feel them, and it's like the same feeling you get when you're doing the indie shows, but then it's completely different and mind blowing. All the feelings and emotions that you go through, and then the ring itself, it's a ring. It's the same kind of ring we wrestle in everywhere else in the country. It's just usually 2 feet bigger.
So. You know, I always kind of felt that when you're in front of a larger crowd, in some ways it's less nerve-wracking because you can't see everyone looking at you. Whereas if there's 30 people there, it always kind of felt like, man, every single one of these, I could see every single person and they're all looking at me.
That's the exact same way I feel. But at the time, when I was going through that, I didn't know what to expect walking through that curtain. So before I got in that ring, it was really, really, really nerve-wracking.
So very quickly here, what did end up, in your opinion, being the biggest match of your career prior to this one here? In hindsight, you look back and just go, that was the one.
Gee. Probably me and AJ Styles earlier on this year.
That's right. That's right. How was that match?
It was awesome. It was everything that I needed it to be. Really, that match has helped get me to where I am right now. So currently, that's definitely the most important match in my career. I mean, to date, that was I think the moment that changed my future in the company. I didn't know what was going to happen with Ray Rowe hurt, and that opportunity popped up. And I've had momentum ever since. So I think that would be the biggest match of my career so far.
The 13th anniversary show is coming up on March 1st. The Orleans Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Main event of the show, Jay Briscoe, Tommaso Ciampa, Michael Elgin, and Hanson, who is on the line right now. And Hanson, before we go here today, I want to give you a chance to put out any plugs. If you've got upcoming dates, if you've got social media, got about a minute. The floor is yours.
Yeah, at Warbeard Hanson on Twitter, @war_beard on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. Just search Hanson, just not the band. Please grab the wrestler. And I got all sorts of shows, obviously, this Sunday, live on pay-per-view. Ring of Honor, order it. It's going to be amazing. And then all sorts of shows coming up. Just check me out on social media, and you'll see all my dates coming up.
Well, Hanson, I want to thank you so much for being on the show here today. I am not following you. I am on Twitter, but not on Instagram. That is about to change. The Hanson Instagram sounds like the most awesome thing imaginable. I want to wish you the best of luck Sunday. And, of course, thanks for doing the show. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Couple of final moments for today's show. Every day we are here, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, all over the world. Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, WrestlingObserver.com, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on. So make sure you check it out. Tomorrow we'll have Ring of Honor guests going all week long. This is your final chance to join us for a full month of access for only $3.99 at WrestlingObserver.com. As a member, you get full access to everything on the website. All of the new shows, all of the old shows, 6,000 hours of audio, the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Figure Four Weekly. We've been plugging it for years. It is your chance to sample the entire thing for just $3.99 for an entire month. Go to WrestlingObserver.com right now. It only lasts until tonight at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific. Final chance, a full month of access for just $3.99 leading into WrestleMania. Don't forget the Craig contest tonight. If you're a subscriber on the Brian and Vinny Show, we're going to give away video games, the WWE 2K15 video game. And that is it from here, everybody. I want to thank you all so much for listening. Everybody at Sports Byline USA, Mike and all the listeners, talk to you again tonight, subscribers, and tomorrow, everybody else here on Sports Byline USA.